Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. A groan alert. Only 363 days till federal income taxes are due. Let's mark our calendars with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Well, now 2 days out from Wednesday, tax day, and I suppose poll respondents universally agree that they pay too much in taxes.
Well, not as much as they used to. It's not universal, which I think is interesting because, just like you said, Dave, many people might opine that everybody complains about taxes, but just a little over 50%, 51% of Americans say that the amount they pay in income taxes is too high, and that's actually down. If you go back to the Vietnam War era in the 1960s, we at Gallup found almost 70% who said it was too high, and even just a decade and a half ago, it was up in the 60% range. What happened was the Bush tax cuts came in early 2001, 2002, early in his term, and the percent who said the amount of taxes they pay is too high has dropped down to where it is now, which is just about 51%.
Well, does everyone opine that corporations and the wealthy pay too little?
Yes, 69% say corporations pay too little in taxes. 62% say upper income people pay too little in taxes. And that's not surprising. All of our questions show that Americans are quite willing to tax the upper income more because they don't consider themselves to be upper income. But, you know, 21% of Americans, and this is an important number, 21% of Americans say that lower income people don't pay enough in taxes. They pay too little. So there's actually been a little rising sentiment that even the poorest among us need to pay a little more in taxes.
Let's take up other taxing issues, Frank. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's campaign team is managing her message, saying she's working hard to earn your vote. Is it perceived to be sewn up, though, by the public?
Well, by Democrats, I would say yes, 66%. Now, that's not sewn up, I guess, but 66%, two-thirds of Democrats we recently interviewed said, yes, Hillary Clinton will be our party's nominee. So that's, you know, semi-sewn up, I guess I would say. But, you know, in that same poll, we asked Democrats, would it be better for the party if Hillary Clinton had some competition? And over half, 54% of Democrats said, yes, you know, actually would be better off if she had some competition. We had asked that same question way back in 1999 about Al Gore, who was seen then as the inevitable Democratic nominee. He was the sitting vice president at the time, and the same kind of sentiment prevailed then. They thought it would be better if Gore had some competition. He did for a few primaries with Bill Bradley, but basically he sailed to the nomination. But all in all, I would say Democrats concede that it's probably going to be Hillary Clinton.
What is the name recognition for potential competition for Hillary?
Extremely low. We tested, for example, Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland. We tested Jim Webb, Vietnam veteran, former Secretary of the Navy, former senator from Virginia. We tested Bernie Sanders, senator from Vermont, and none of those have name ID, even among Democrats, that even approaches 50%. So at the moment, the only possible contender with some reasonable name ID would be Joe Biden, of course, but he's sitting it out, and it's unlikely, in my opinion, that he's going to run unless Hillary Clinton drops out or really stumbles.
So back to that two-thirds figure that feel it is pretty much sewn up. Does that same two-thirds margin feel it's okay for her to be the Democratic nominee?
It's actually a little lower. We asked that exact question. We just said, is it okay with you? Would you support Hillary Clinton being your nominee, or would you support someone else? And again, these are Democrats we're talking about. And about 57% of Democrats say, yes, Hillary's fine with us. But that leaves, you know, upwards of about 40% of Democrats, 4 out of 10, who say they would prefer that somebody else run. So for Hillary Clinton and her strategist, even though she may be inevitable, she has to realize that she's not yet an overwhelming consensus candidate of the Democratic Party.
Let's turn to the GOP side and managing the message of the three Republican senators who've announced, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Marco Rubio. I'm wondering if their campaign teams are trying to create some distance between them and their current job descriptions.
Well, perhaps they should, because our latest update in April is 15% for job approval for Congress. That's terrible, of course. Not as bad as it has been. We always say that it had been into single digits at its very lowest point. But those individuals that you mentioned, and perhaps some other members of Congress who might be running, have to be very careful that they don't try to say that's a plus. But instead, I guess their campaign would be, even though I'm in the Senate, I'm going to be running against the government in some ways and try to make it work better.
That's a neat trick. And indeed, is dysfunction in government among the top problems for Americans?
It is. Our current update shows 19% of Americans spontaneously say dysfunctional government is the most important problem facing the country today, and that's higher than any other single problem. The economy comes in at 11%. 10%, unemployment at 10%, then immigration at 8%, and 6% mentioned things like health, for example, and race relations at 6% being the biggest problem facing the country. But for a number of months now, Americans tell us that dysfunctional government is the issue they think is the most pressing one facing the country at this point.
Frank Gallup's been at it for a while. Take us back through recent history and the success of sitting senators emerging as president.
You know, it's quite interesting. Obama, of course, was a sitting senator from Illinois when he was elected in 2008. But before President Obama, you have to go back and back and back in time. And it's all the way back to John F. Kennedy, was the last sitting senator who was elected president. Richard Nixon, of course, had been a senator, but he was not a sitting senator when he was elected president in 1968. So at least historically speaking, the senators that you mentioned that are all kind of lining up to run now have a challenge, historically speaking. Although, again, they have the most recent president in mind, Barack Obama, who was a senator when he was elected.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.